Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Ves Hashem Feedback and Insight Share number 188. Rutkorsky, towards the end of the book, talks about Emunah and how Emunah is the foundation of Yiddishkeit. And the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu instructed 611 mitzvahs together with the first two mitzvahs of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem, and Lo Yilecha, there's no other God before me. Those two were directly given by Hashem. Dovid HaMelech narrowed it down to 11 basic principles, and Yeshayo narrowed it down to 6, Micha to 3, Habakkuk summarized it with 1. Tzadik b'emuna sayichya, Emunah. Emunah is all-inclusive. There are two aspects of Emunah, that Hashem exists, and number two, that Hashem is control of the world. Now, to believe that he exists is not a major challenge. Anyone with any type of intelligence will recognize that our complex world, structure and functioning is mind-boggling, could not have occurred as a freak accident. More and more scientists are coming to believe in creation. And the primary reason why there's a reluctance to accept creation, you know, is the Rebbe and Antoninus talked about it. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Rebbe said that the Yetzer Hara comes in at the moment of conception. Antoninus says it's impossible because if the fetus had a Yetzer Hara, it would kick its way out of its womb. Therefore, it starts at birth. And Rebbe was actually Maidat Antoninus. You're right. It's from the time of birth. Why would the fetus kick its way out of the womb? Bali Musa say, is because, you know, it's very interesting. They don't know about earthly pleasures yet. And more than that, if they would leave the womb at that point as a fetus, it would mean certain death. They would die. But that's, they explain that it's not really the pursuit of pleasure, but it's the refusal to be restricted. If the fetus had a Yetzer Hara, then it would leave the womb, preferring certain death rather than to be confined. Because the desire to be free and independent would overwhelm even infants, and it would increase with intensity. The weirdness of Hashem exists can be experienced if that concept is real by you, as a threat to your own independence, as a threat to your own free will. Many people find a comfort in believing that God doesn't exist. A sinful person may adapt this attitude, you know, I'll be Shalom Yeli, Kibashrius Libi Elech. Peace is with me. I will walk as my heart sees fit. But there's no way to deny creation. A physician who specialized in fertility said as follows, said that I once was peering through a microscope at a single cell, a fertilized ovum, and I realized that henceforth this tiny cell will get only carbon, oxygen, nitrogen, and hydrogen, and a few trace metals, and from that it will build a full human being. At that point, I realized there must be a God. See, so some people who cannot deny creation preserve their attitude of independence by saying, okay, God did create the world, but then he left it. It's beneath his dignity to be concerned with mere earthlings like us. So God, in essence, took off and left the operation of the world to underlings. And the Rambam explains that this is how Avodah Zarah started. People began to worship spiritual forces, natural forces, which were represented by idols. So the major challenge in Emunah is not the belief in the existence of Hashem, but in his Hashgacha, that Hashem is interested in us, that Hashem cares about us, about everything in it. This is why the first of the Ten Commandments is, Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher yitzeicha me'eretz Mitzrayim. I took you out of Egypt. Reb Simcha ben Abba Peshitsa explains, why did Hashem not say, I am Hashem Elokecha who created the world, the Bairei Olam? The answer is that every sincere and intelligent person is aware of that already. The problem is to believe that he's interested in the world, and that he has complete control over the world. And that was proven by Yetzias Mitzrayim, where Hashem was involved in our freedom with the Makkos and Kriyas Yamsuf and so on. So the belief that everything happens only because Hashem wills it is the first of the 13 Ani Maimons. That's harder to accept than just believing Hashem exists. We understand that Hashem is absolute kindness, infinitely merciful. Yet there are many people who doubt this. There's so many things that in our logical brain seem to conflict our understanding of this kindness and mercy, which may have us conclude that he's not in charge of the world, chas v'shalom. Right? And indeed, you see, Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem, why does righteous people suffer? Hashem told him it cannot be understood as long as you inhabit a physical body. So we're challenged by these questions. Why are some children born with defects that cause their parents' life of suffering? Why do real sinful people often prosper and righteous people often are deprived of essentials of life? And why are there hurricanes and tornadoes and tsunamis that bring grief to thousands upon thousands of people? All these questions challenge our belief in Hashgacha, and logic fails us. Logic indeed fails us. But this is the idea that the belief in Hashgacha Pratis, and that everything is just even though it's beyond our understanding, to surrender to a greater wisdom than ourselves. And great tzaddikim, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik of Brisk, Reb Akiva Eger de Vilna Goyen, they were mevatel themselves completely, and their intelligence were way beyond ours. We don't come to their toenails in their brain power, in their logic, and in their understanding of things. And if they themselves say, we surrender to the infinite wisdom of Hashem, we don't understand everything. If Emun is good enough for them, it's good enough for us. That's the idea. So recognizing even the greatest tzaddikim come to Emuna. It comes to, and it allows us to have trust in him despite our questions. It doesn't mean we don't have questions. It's that means despite the questions, we trust Hashem. And that is the Yisayit of Emunah. And then he goes through in a chapter here of two ways of achieving Emunah. One way is Da'as Elkei Avicha V'Avdeyu, which means to know Hashem through philosophical reasoning. Da'as Hashem Elkei Avicha. The Da, the knowing, is philosophical reasoning, but Avicha applies through tradition, through Kabbalah. And the Svarim point out pros and cons of each way. On one hand, the philosophical understanding may be very profound, but there's a risk that an argument could disprove your conclusion. There were tzaddikim that were philosophers that had that deep thought. The Rambam, Rabbi Yehuda Levi, Rabbi Yosef Albo, others, the Chayvus Alvavus himself in Shari Yichud Ve'emunah. But most Mefarshim and most the Mahalach now is you could do that. Avigdor Miller said there's no issue learning those svarim, but the main one is through Kabbalah, through the tradition, the Emunah Pshuta, to conduct our daily lives with Emunah Pshuta, with trusting Hashem and letting go of Aseichel, and just having straight Emunah and Hashem with a great simplicity. It brings many stories about Emunah Tzadikim, stories from tzaddikim that were maftiach things, and it happened, emunas chachamim. Obstacles, there are obstacles to emunah that we have to fight. But we have an unbroken chain of transmission from Har Sinai, witnessed by millions of people. So how could we deny that? The answer is what we to understand of Avodah Zarah will understand that. Klai Yisrael saw Kriyas Yamsef in front of their eyes, but there was a person, Micha, who brought an Avodah Zarah from Egypt and carried it through the Yam. Gemara Sanhedrin says this in Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. What type of paradox is this? But that was the power of Avodah Zarah that those days. Menashe, King Menashe, was an Oved Avodah Zarah, brought Avodah Zarah into the base of Migdash. And he appeared to Rav Ashi in a dream and said, if you lived in my time, you would have run. You would have picked up your coattails and run after the Avodah Zarah. It was a tremendous Yetzirah then. It's a tremendous concept here. But these days, we don't have that Yetzirah desire anymore. But the Kutzker Rebbe said that there's no real apikorsim today. There's no real heretics today. There are only Bali Taiva who seek sanction for their forbidden desires. That's really the crux of people who claim not to believe in God these days. They want to run after their desires. It's too uncomfortable. It says, the bribe will blind the eyes of the wise, distort the words of the righteous. And that will bribe a person to want to believe in something else so they don't have to come to the accountability of living a life that Hashem wants them to live by. So, you know, Dali Shore brings down, Rav Wolba says that the exercise of Bechira is a rare phenomenon. Animals don't have Bechira. Animals function on instinct. A hungry jackal spies a carcass that a ferocious tiger is eating. The jackal will sit back and will not eat from it. Because why? Not because it has Bechira. But the hunger instinct is overcome by its instinct for survival. It knows if it makes an attempt to take the food from the tiger will kill him. So therefore, it will, despite the hunger pains of the animal, of the jackal, it'll hold back. That's not Bechira. That's just a survival skill. Same thing, a child, if they know they'll be punished for raiding a cookie jar, let's say, because they were hit before by that, and they resist the temptation because they remember how their mother hit them, that's not Bechira either. That's the fear of punishment overriding the desire for the cookie. So a lot of our behavior is determined by habit or a desire to please others or other types of motivations. True Bechira is when you act according to the strongest, you act against your strongest instinct. That's uniquely human. That is uniquely human. It's related that a tzaddik was aware of a poor family, gave them tzedakah. He later returned and gave them more money. And he explained, when I initially gave them money, it was not really for the mitzvah tzedakah. I felt the pain of seeing them hungry, and I gave them money to relieve my discomfort. So I later returned to give them tzedakah for the mitzvah rather than to placate myself. Those type of things. Tzaddikim work very hard on this type of emunah. Some people, tzaddikim, they used to close their stores early so that other grocers in the town would have a chance to earn a living. The Chafetz Chaim used to do this as well. He instructed his wife to close their store at noon. When customers then made all their purchases in the morning, Chafetz Chaim then closed the front door. The neighbors know there's a rear entrance. Other customers can patronize other groceries. The emunah that Hashem will provide for their needs is very, very strong by tzaddikim. Emunah is truth. Emunah is emes. The speaking of truth requires emunah. There's a beautiful vart from Chaim Shmulevitz that basically what happened was is when the carbon was burned by the Rosh Chodesh carbon was burned by the Chanukah Abayis, and Aaron and Moshe got angry at them. That Hashem said, you should eat it, not even though you're Avelim, you should eat it, you should not burn it. And Aharon said that, but he didn't say it by Kotche Dairis this. And Moshe said, you're right, Hashem said it, and I forgot. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz pointed out that Moshe had a real big dilemma here, because he was the only conduit of Hashem to us. If he admit that he forgot something, he puts the whole Torah in Sakana. People are going to say, if Moshe is capable of forgetting what Hashem said, how do you know that everything else that he said was authentic and comes from Hashem? Maybe it would have been better for him to have said, follow my instructions as I gave them to you, rather than place a doubt. But Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz said, Moshe decided no. Preserving the authenticity of the Torah is not my achrayus. Telling the truth is my achrayus. I have to tell the truth, forget what Hashem said, that I forgot what Hashem said, whatever the consequences may be. That is the idea. Emes, the idea of Emes. And then he goes through levels of Emunah, and he goes through various other things. And we're going to allow you to finish the book on your own, Be'ezes Hashem. But there is a lot of beautiful Yesaidais in this book. If you look through all the Shiurim, every single one is emes lamitai and is very practical and is kedai to follow and live by. Bracha v'atzlacha.